All right, everybody, we're going to get started. We have Robert Lee Kendrick here. He's going to talk about his poetry collection, one that I've really enjoyed personally, Winter Skin. So please welcome Robert to City Lights Bookstore.
And I thank y'all for coming out. I mean, it's a gorgeous Saturday afternoon, and out of all the things in the world that you could have done, you want to sit down inside your poetry, which is certifiably insane. Thank you. So, I'm going to cast one out and see what the luck is here. You ever watch The Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm.
You're obsessed with that as I am.
Yes.
One thing I love about that TV series, the first season, 6 years ago, the first scene, the first episode, the sheriff, who's the main character, encounters a zombie. Okay, no surprise, it's a zombie series. She's 5 years old. Was once a five-year-old even. So, yeah, it's a cute little kindergartner zombie. And he does what one should do with zombies. He takes out his revolver, pops her in the head. And when the producer was asked, why in the turn the channel? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, it's out of the gate. I wanted to let you know what you were in. So, you know, I couldn't decide which to put first in the collection. And not by any means the best poem, but I thought, okay, yeah, Walking Dead. We gotta come right out of the gate and let you know what you're in. And also, this was the first poem I published back in January of 2013. And I got to give Scott Douglas at Main Street Bag major thanks for that. I used to work in a slaughterhouse and learn the value of a sharp knife to sculpt flesh into something useful. Because what's the good of a rank-and-file steer stuffing grain down his heavily medicated gut, hitting the end-of-the-day trough with a few thousand cows until it's his turn to hit the line, clock in with a bolt through the forehead, let the process make something of him, one slice at a time. Same thing for some rock star Angus scoring some grass, surrounded by more green than you'll see in a month of lawns. I drive by those big suckers every day, taking my son home from elementary school. And every time he says, moo, inside the car, I want to stop, hold him with one hand, and point to the cattle with the other and say, livestock, Bobby. Livestock. Then add something like, what's the point of sentience when you're domesticated? And in this economy, we're all just value-adding units. So he could lay that on his fourth-grade teacher and have a solid freak rep, at least until middle school. Or I could help him under the barbed wire, through the bullcrap, walk him over near one and point to the carotid and say, this is where you have to cut. It drains quickly. And anyway, they're brain dead. After a few days, it's automatic. And ye multitudinous fields incarnadine. Because what would you rather owe for your education? Blood or money? Who am I kidding? I would never say that to myself. Drawing a knife across a steer's neck was never automatic. And I hated the taste of coins in my mouth as I breathed in the blood. And I hated the dry ferment of dirt and shit that clung to their hooves, the thick hanging tongues that hung from their mouths, and the eyes like sludge watering potholes. And I quit after a couple of months, still broke. I don't know if I'll ever tell that to my kid. So when Bobby makes his cow sound, curl my brow as benignly as possible, and take my hands off the wheel, and put my horns on, and move.
How unsure were you ago?
I don't think that narrator Sherber, he's going with it either. So it all works out. I see a lot of trailers and pickings in Oconee County when I'm out run across one that it scorched. There's been a home chemistry experiment gone wrong in there.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I mean, there's some. I mean, the road that found its way into this poem, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's all the best meth thrillers in our part of Pickens County are on Love and Care Road.
And
teenagers joke, oh, don't go on Love and Care. There's no Love and Care on that road. So, and then one guy saw a solvent can. And it's old school legal disclaimer. I'm not giving any advice here. Old school meth production. Solvent. It's part of the process. And torch trailer. And almost new looking can of solvent on the other side of the blacktop. And it took about 2 weeks for that to percolate. And we ended up with this solvent can. Easy to get what he wanted at first. Anhydrous ammonia siphoned from farm storage in night fog and chill. Legs and hands shaking as he filled the fat turquoise tank. Antifreeze jugs stolen one at a time, each wrapped in a fraying black hoodie when his manager took 10-minute trips to the John. Lithium from batteries cut with a razor and opened with needle nose pliers to peel the shimmering metal strips. Pseudoephedrine smurfed by the kit with the tar paper mouth. Easy to get what you wanted. A gutted out trailer on Love and Care Road, tucked back on a curve of gravel, surrounded by scrub oak and pine. Windows painted black and sealed from the inside with trash bags and duct tape. Red spiral rings that glowed on the stove as his hoses crept over counters and floor to make the rough crystals. A diamond mine in the kitchen. Easy to get what he wanted. A flicker of static, a low voltage kiss to charged air, a bouquet of flames. What some in the county call a good tweaker barbecue. Plastic. Tweak if you're addicted to meth.
The word is kind of confusing in your head, whether or not you know what it is.
Plastic and rubber turned, lip curling spoke, I'm okay with breaking down. His skin and bones become char. Not much left but the trailer's scorched shell. An old propane tank in the back. A few aerosols. This solvent can, empty, tossed a few yards into the woods, almost as spotless as the day it was dropped in a Walmart cart. And then, I gotta find the material. That's come to mind, as I've read from this couple of times, and added in stuff over the last couple of years, because these are all 2014 poems, who knows more. I realized that my imagination is limited to bedpans, cars, creeks. And, that's about it. That's about it. Oh, and diamonds. One of these days, I'm going to combine all five. And at that point, we're done. It's, Hendrix at Monterey, squirt the lighter fluid on it.
That's something else,
that's true. So I got a couple of diner poems. Gratuities. Two cups of black coffee can't strip the odor of paint that hangs in my throat like lichen. 20 bedrooms, 5 kitchens, 5 baths. Done by deadline. $100 overtime coming. Tall stack, ham steak, peach pie, and coffee. Round cushioned stool after 16 hours on my feet. bright chrome and wet white formica, the spatter and spit of bacon and eggs. Beaumont stands at the grill singing Al Green to himself, juking his shoulders and hips to each spatula flip. Kristen carries wide trays of food, her legs loose with the sway of branches and wind, her forearms supple and taut. Andy picks up a bus tub, head cocked with a gunslinger smirk. I hear his quick clatter of rec rinse and dry, the sound of no wasted motion, the swagger and skill of small things well done. Cab driver Mike lets cigarettes burn down in his hand, holds steady on a half cup of coffee. Please. Thank you. Dollar left by the napkin. He drags his shift to the door. Outside is diesel and dark. Drunk Swanee rides to places they barely remember and stone college kids who don't tip. No one wants to drive back to bed, the slow turning wait until sleep. Still, we can't stay. Everyone has to return to the night. We have to, you know, duct the force. Force and duct tape are the same way. It's like the light side and it's kind of the dark side. It holds the universe together.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. So we got the light side of the diner there. Let's go. Driving across Georgia, I stop at the remains of a topless diner. Not one 2x4 left. Wild grass and creepers twist glossy knots through the concrete. Beer bottle shards catch sparks of glare where the dining room was. 10 years ago, I stopped here at 3 a.m. I'd been dumped by a girl for wasting her money, and the road from Virginia was so damn dark. I started believing an asphalt sky and a broken radio were as good as things were going to get. Biscuits and tits. Why the hell not? A black snake hide dries where a girl wrapped her legs around a chrome pole that night and let her hair drop. One man watched, unshaven cheek in his palm, slow menthol curl from his lips. 10 hours of highway behind him. He stopped to see women and sleep in his truck alone. No beds, no booze, no touching. Dark place for a man's eyes to glide over smooth thighs and hips, feel floodwaters rise on your skin. The booth smelled of men's sweat and pine cleaner. The waitress's work name was Misty. Double shift curve to her back, belly scar catching a finger of light, rose vine tattoo wreathing one breast, 2 feet between us like a canyon. She pulled out her G-string for the tip, offered her patch of dark mossy hairs to hold money. I left the bills on the table. I won't say I was decent. Decent men drove to the pancake house where they throw a man out for staring at waitresses' breasts, for saying he's got a dollar to give that fine ass, where everyone could see from outside that it was quiet, light, and no one was treated badly. They should tear up what remains of the concrete. Let the plants do their work. Let field rats and snakes make their nests. Enough time and wind will clear this away. Even the ground can grow a new skin. Shipped over, and hey, a car poem. Again, we're back to the limited universe. Okay. Yeah, I think we were talking earlier about teaching. And the auto shop guys, they're my people. I mean, that's, if you had told me when I was a 16-year-old junior in high school that I'd get a PhD in English, you must have been smoking the killer stink weed by the guys by Andrew Boaz and Primer Gray, you know, Firebird. And it struck me that this generation of, I'm being a book nerd now, this generation of earheads is denied the pleasure of the J.C. Whitney catalog, which was, did you ever see one? Got knee thick. Every part you could imagine for customizing or just regular maintenance on the car is there. Every serious gearhead had one. It was a dream book, right? Now you're like, wait, one. Okay. The names for speed. To learn what made the chrome-tuned growls that rumbled under polished hoods and tore the stoplight air with tailpipe bangs, I studied the J.C. Whitney catalog, shifting through its pages to know the names for speed. Camshaft, ram air, crankshaft, glass packs, blower stacks, piston rings, and every oil-soaked thing. The intake valves, the rocker arms, the rear end gears to lift a Chevy's hips into a sprinter's crouch, the twin four barrel Holley cards, the manifold. But the lexicon of muscle was beautiful babble to my dull mustard AMC. A bent lunch bag on wheels that lumped under the carport and would not move. This son of a hornet, with its three-speed on the column, asthmatic straight line six, and flaking floorboard rust hole, grew terrible and low on concrete blocks as I read the rules of timing chain and spark plugs from the Chilton's Auto Repair Manual. Then I saw the yellow eye of the creature open, and it did run. It threw a rod on 51 near Bloomington, run dry from my poorly tightened oil pan. I waited on the trunk and listened to a chorus line of passing cars that echoed in the darkness. Dipstick, they sang, and loose nut. Lost bolt and stripped thread, glass gut and neat mallet, broke dick and shit biscuits. But underneath, they also sang of Top Three County blacktops, of glass smooth open pavement rushing towards the windshield, of arrowhead horizons flying faster as I chase them. Glass gut, beautiful gearhead. Means your head is so far up your ass, you need to see your way around the shop. Usually used when you've done something stupid. Cause a bigger problem. Meat mallet, that's what these are. Right? That's it won't fit. Okay. Yeah. It's the poor mechanic's tool of last resort. Which I admit to having used a number of times. You know, when I finally realized I was probably better with like work hook and wrench, that was a sky is open.
Yeah, it kind of brought back memories from years ago. I used to drive one of the race cars.
Yeah. Around Auburn, no, South Carolina? No. Where was it?
A little bit of Alabama, a little bit of Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Baseball and misdemeanor trespass. Shadow ball. We chucked a Louisville slugger over the fence, barrel and handle turning end over end to cut the sunlight in uneven lops before it tumbled to ground. 4 feet of chain link hopped, cooler and boombox handed over, Old English 800 and black leather angels on homemade cassettes. Late evening haze hung over the outfield and pitcher's mound shimmered with heat crawling dirt. We could sneak an hour before sunset. One at the plate and four in the field, heads still spinning from basement Black Sabbath, we played with our lengthening shadows. No helmets, no umpire. Malt liquor tilted Lincoln High Field to our slant, a can for man to put more bite on cutters and curves, to blur hops and liners and hang oracle pop-ups close to the moon, red stitch Sputniks leaving town for longer than weaker. 3 years gone from black pinstripes and L's on our caps, racetrack and Kroger shirts all day, pizza delivery highway stars at night, twilight baseball between. Two strikes down, we'd call long shots and swing from the heels and foul them straight back. No keeping score, no way to win, nothing to lose but a few stolen balls. Just hang in and hack while you can. When buzzed luck met muscle memory, Northern Ash launched white leather high through the darkening deep blue and rose, a long hyperbola into the trees.
That's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Just because, well, just because of my own personal experience. Uh-huh. Like I feel like we probably had maybe similar 18 to 22 year old experiences.
Yeah.
So, no. Yeah, that's great.
It's that, I mean, it's that transitional time. Yeah. You know, you got one hand reaching back for something, not sure what this one might or may not be moving forward for. Speaking of which, I used to, most of these are, you know, persona poems. I think this is the closest where I'm actually close to being life honest as opposed to literary honest. Bad to be the first one too much. But actually, if you go on YouTube and you look up John White spoken word or John White slam poet, you'll find this crazy guy that I used to hang out with him in my hometown, moved in Illinois, and I mean, we're talking about honest focus. John White's the most focused and disciplined artist I've seen in my life. Yeah, I gotta be honest, I'm not nearly the most talented, but he just, you know, was a guy who just decided sometime around 23, 24 years old, I'm a poet. Not I want to be a poet. Before he had ever written a poem, he just said, I'm a poet. So if I'm a poet, this is all I do. He would work when he had to, sleep on people's couches, sleep on people's floors. Wrote a lot of terrible poems. And eventually got one or two published. And he's still doing that. I caught up with him through email, and he uses computers at public libraries. I mean, he's just, I find it, you know, those of us who write, right, we gotta struggle the amount of time it takes to do this versus the amount of time it takes to do stuff that actually makes money, right? And John, I mean, he's the only person I've ever, no, there's one other guy, singer-songwriter, once met when I was doing that, who just decided, whatever. You know, as long as I have 20 bucks, maybe $5 in my pocket, I'm okay. And he's just, I met him in 1989, and he's just been living for poetry ever since. Guys, he's never had a mailing address. And that, I mean, I find that kind of passion and being in that degree of being all consumed by your art, it's terrifying and beautiful. Sublime, bang, man, go see my old buddy John. And we used to get on the street and with some other players and other musicians, and we would just improv. And John would stand up on a park bench and improv with words. And it was a college town, and a lot of those children just didn't know what to think of this. Street music. Summer stars left our names off the marquee moon as Ranuka's congas and Matt the Cat's bass opened the locks for a liver of groove. See if you can use that. Take two. Street music. Summer stars left our names off the marquee moon as Ranuka's congas and Matt the Cat's bass opened the locks for a river of groove. Fat Tino's trumpet skipped ricochet cuts and leapt to the sky as Tuan's tenor sax hugged the muddy bank's funk, pulling the brass back to earth. I threw swamp flowers down, comping chords on my Strat's rosewood neck, as John Firefly rapped from the sidewalk, calling all down to our river, baptizing with Baraka and Move, and Mad Dog 2020 was his beat. The town of Normal gave us a wide berth. So we played for June heat and street lights, let the water rise over our heads. Small sidewalk trees did a slow juke, and we swung with the shadows of leaves on our skin. I'll read one more from here, maybe a couple of newer things. And I think you heard this one here. Friend dared me back in 2014. Write a poem where the first line is a setup line for a joke.
Cool.
I got lucky. Fight night at Miller's Tap. A man, a woman, and a chair walk out of a bar. Two of them are drunk. One's about to split. She digs her nails in. The chair between them, like a ref, can't stop the shots below the belt. Slap, lean, scratch, switch. Asshole, bitch! Only the chair keeps its feet. Their hands know where to find tender flesh, where to jab old sores and freshen the burn. Her right slogs an uppercut, his right pulls her hair. Thigh on thigh, into the alley and out of sight. From the roof of our building, we shake our heads. We laugh, we kiss. We'll go our first 15 soon enough. We sit on chairs from our kitchen. In a year, we'll divide the pieces. You'll curdle your lip to the compromise. For now, nothing but smoke between us. I take the hit you blow in my mouth, taste the burnt stream tickle over my tongue. A couple new ones. Actually, there's one more subject. My pacemaker.
Uh-huh.
Which was worth all of two decent poems. About five. This one is going to be appearing in Kentucky Review, a really cool online journal that you should check out.
Pacemaker?
Yeah. No, sorry. Right here.
Oh, okay.
It's like a shaped like a badge.
Yeah.
Because I didn't find out until last year that I was born with a heart problem. It's beats too slow. Mm-hmm. And I was an athlete in high school, athlete the first couple of years of college, and then kept on doing other things after, and doctors just always thought, man, you're just in great shape. It's really low resting heart rate. And I guess it was true, but I started passing out. January of last year was my hospital year. January, I got up too quickly out of bed, and my slow heart didn't pump enough blood to hear, and it knocked down like a tree to my hardwood floor. And shattered the bones through here and through here. Had surgery on my face, got that all fixed. Okay, good to go. And they ran a bunch of tests. Like, your heart's fine. Okay. And I was over in Germany. My wife teaches German. So brought my bike. I was training. Fall racing season. Going down a hill about 30 miles an hour in Germany. And really nice one. Gave me a liter of orange juice and put up box of cookies later in the hospital. She felt so bad about it. She was at a stop sign and just threw the book and pulls out and had about 30 feet to stop. The bike breaks and he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
30 miles an hour. So I thought the best man, I'll just veer left. Maybe she'll see me. I'll dodge her and I can bring it back. She didn't see me. T-boned me. And in the hospital in Germany, and after they do all the x-rays and all this and that, they got poke, prod, whatnot. The Polizei are coming. Take my statement. Okay. press the little button to bring the hospital bed up. Now I'm up. And then the next thing I know, everybody in the room, my wife and the doctor on the public side, and our host are like, what? I took a nap for a second. What's the problem? It wasn't a second. It was 15. I'm like, okay, I don't see what the big deal is. I feel fine. They just said, look, you're already stopped for 15 seconds, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, crossing my fingers, they still haven't said I guess, I mean, they content house Freudenstadt, I guess, just comped me and it's weird. And it was kind of a, it's a minor mind messer. You know, when you think about it, because, you know, you're like, wait a second, there's this little gadget here that just happens to be, I don't know, keeping a major organ functioning.
Yeah, right.
So, got one goodish one out of it. And to get me out of the picture, in fact, we all got a copy of one of Robert S. King's books. Mm-hmm. Robert S. King is a terrific poet. He lives in Kentucky, and he's the editor-in-chief of Kentucky Review. Just type that into your browser. They got a lot of good stuff going on. It's a nice journal. Scientific wild ass guess. I should have been in the dirt by now. At least that's what the cardiologist said before he buried a rabbit-shaped lump of metal under my skin that won't come out until it or my heart finally quits. A fox sprints from tree cover to asphalt, 100 feet across creek bridge. One oncoming truck at 51 feet per second. Factor in fog and indeterminate instincts. 20% that these clouds will become electric today. 0.006 that a tree will smoke from a bolt. Still, I've found four this summer. I've put 10 grand on electrode, chip, and wire to give natural selection the slip. I promise the odds are decent to good. Something like thunder and first drops of rain. This one's going to appear in Louisiana literature. Last stop at the Carnatz Farm. If you were stone drunk or your car broke down, you might sleep here. The front door open, each window cracked, the county's padlock cut. Kitchen and bathroom gutted, all the good copper ripped from the junction box. A bullwind scatters shingles and fascia. Even crows keep their distance. Spike Carnatz welcomed anyone here. Cobra tattoo on his forearm. Liver spots. 50 acres of family land clear from the bank. No wife or kids. His first rule, don't take what's not yours. His second rule, earn your bed. His consequence, his fist on the door. No one tested his word. Four times I cleaned his shed for a cot and his pancakes. My new siblings, a band that couldn't afford a motel, cleaning floors, a hitchhiking girl frying pork chops for seven, a man out of rehab and in between jobs raking oak leaves. I left demo tapes and CDs on the pillow. Spike just asked questions. Did I oil the chainsaw? Were the solvent cans sealed? Wrenches, huh? I heard distant cousins put Spike in a home, then the Carnatz plot in Pontiac, 12 miles from this farm. I've never paid him a visit. The house, a small wreck, a prairie silence will go to the highest bidder. 20 years since I last folded his cot, long done with gigs and nights on the road, one ex-wife, no kids. I hold down a regular job, lock my doors, watch out for my own, get by. I've written you one long bad check, Spike. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and I'm halfway to Chicago alone. somewhere in those 100 miles, there has to be one of your tribe left who still keeps a spare room and a place at the table, who remembers your light when they shake in the wind.
Some people for time.
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
Take as much time as you need.
All right.
And you've got the last 3 Main Street rags.
Oh, really?
Yes, up there, which means not enough people are dang well buying them. But, this Scott Douglas is such an awesome cat. Mm-hmm. This one, he took this one for the most recent issue, which I think is also their 30th anniversary issue. He's been at it a long time. 2 Lane Anabasis. The Anabasis, right? This is where I'm getting all warm. That's the descent into the other. Yeah. 2 Lane Anabasis. The stars cut town, burn the moon. Chapman Road kinks like a compound fracture as it drops into fog from the east of Toe Valley. Uncle Lloyd could boot kiss the gas and skip his Nova through these hairpins like a pebble, his blue cum tongues cursed from his tailpipes. My father downshifted, covered the brake, belted me down in the Dodge's back seat. His hands were brown leaves. Rocks waited to fall. Lloyd's taillights slipped over the ridge. Midnight calls for money. In my father's long breaths, thin creeks under ice. Before dawn, his stiff-shouldered walk to the truck. I practiced those steps to the school bus, carried my bag with his hook-wristed grip, Lloyd's headers still in my ear. Chapman Road coiled out of the valley. At 18, I coaxed the Dodge over the ridge, followed narrow blacktops to Rock Hill to keep my father's long hours in libraries and discover how my Lloyd smile could open a wallet or blouse, how to slide hidden lines through small town laws and university rules. My father did. The same trenches between sentences I heard with Lloyd, the same knitted steel in his voice, stretched to keep broken stone in place. Both brothers gone, the family house has come to me. The ducting groans with my father's breath. Lloyd's promises hiss in the pipes. So much I can't fix. I teach in the school they left at 16. I tell boys who slump out their days there are no shortcuts. Offer the Bibb County rats and a hook to slash the terrible starlight. And they put in their time. Tell me they can read the dollar menu and add. We swap camshaft tips and hot metal scars, do what we can do to pass. I make the reports look official. The sun cuts our eyes through the window, and plates under the mountains continue their endless collision. Each morning, I hold small skids towards my headlight's edge, one blind corner after another. Fallen branches, loose rock. Fog jukes and slips behind me. Its mouth whispers something buried by rubber and steel. My tightening breath.
Okay.
One last one.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
One last one.
Take some questions.
It's a car poem.
Hey.
Oh, cool.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's like number 4. Okay. Carolyn. Michael here. I'm sorry. Just hear it again. This'll another plot journal that, you know, it's $12 to get a year of it. It's a cool journal out of Angelo State University in Texas called the Concho River Review. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be in Concho River Review this fall. El Camino. Kim says Doug's Chevy's all mine if I want it, the house next to go. She still sleeps with his clothes. 49 miles to Nebraska and back, let the big block breathe. A run just our age, December moon honeys the T-handle shifter, bright as the nickel plate 38 he pressed to his neck. Action tuned to release cam and spring from the least point of pressure. His talent for turning desire into speed and smoke. Handwork that propels me between frost-capped cornfields. Dead stalks keep topsoil from drifting, roots clutching dirt until rot. Pull one up early, ground loosens under those closest. I've dreamed of this music. Finely milled piston and ported exhaust, waves of horsepower and torque. Polished hood pins and the next mile of asphalt. Just as the first key gleam promised, when Kim pressed it to my palm and insisted, just once, then decide. That actually came out of driving my father-in-law's car, which wasn't an El Camino. But my wife and I live in Clemson now. Mm-hmm. Her mom's from Powdersville. People from Powdersville. Some, if they're from Beasley.
Oh. Right?
Down to earth, you're like, man, I'm from Powdersville. Near easily. And unfortunately, she didn't know my child. So we moved there, so she could be with her mom. And Stan had this kick-ass car. I mean, no doubt about it. He would never let me drive it. Never let anybody drive it. And my wife's mother was just like, you want this car? There in the garage where the whole thing went down. That's just that's creeping my crap out.
Right.
Didn't use that. But then she was like, no, she wouldn't take it with him. And just the experience of going out one night for a long drive, and now in this absolute and knowing, but wait, man, you know, this was I probably would have done it. My wife said no. I hate fast cars. I hate sports. In her mind, and I think this comes from studying German, having been there a bunch of times, she thinks everybody should have an old East German Trabant. Oh. You know, everybody should have the two-door box. It's no vulgar displays of wealth. Nothing designed to go fast. I thank her for keeping me away from
it. Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
Okay, last one, and I'll pop again. Poetry is such a whacked out thing, and the people that dedicate their time to scaring up the money to keep a journal going, especially the independent folks who don't, I mean, not journals that aren't attached to the university. Real good one. Quality poetry and real nice artwork. Comes out of Virginia. It's called the Sow's Ear Poetry Ring. Yeah. This, I got to thank them for picking up this one. It was in the Sow's Ear last year, which is starting to sound like something itself. What's that?
That's Brian.
Yeah. Catch and release. Late April dirt full of crawlers, minnows cheap by the pound, but I have no urge to feel their squirm on a hook. My father would spit when I'd reach for a motionless lure. No argument here. Steph gone to Easley before I woke up. Another weekend with her mother, who knows what she does. The early water and the miscarried lump of pearl wrapped in a blanket as if it needs warmth. Its window skin stretched over bruises. And who knows what gifts can come after. Wind pulses yellow with pollen. Rushes spread green on the bank. Black calves feed from cows full of grass sprung from dead leaf and wood turned over by microbe and worm. made rich by bones. When she's ready, she says, she'll come home. For now, I'll arc my inanimate plastic over the surface and bring it back, mimicking lifelike tugs. I'll snap at the strike, fight it to shore, remove the barb gently. Practice showing a daughter or son how to return small life to the water. Q&A.
Thank you, Robert. That's awesome.